Tamatiti Te Ngamoke was an influential prophetic leader in Taranaki and beyond, whose fame was eclipsed by that of later prophets, his name becoming almost forgotten. Beginning back in the 1850s, Tito led the Kangarara movement, aiming to unite the people of Taranaki and establish a new spiritual order. Jeffrey Sissons is an anthropologist, and he's the author of a new book called The Forgotten Prophet, Tamati Tito and His Kangarara Movement. He's with us today. Jeff, tēnā koe. My name's Dale. Thanks for joining us.
Morena, Dale.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, well, good to be here.
And likewise, Jeff. Well, firstly, tell us about your interest in this kaupapa. Where does it stem from, Jeff Sissons? How come you want us to know more about this man?
it really came from, I did some work on the origins of Christianity in the Pacific, and I found that people there destroyed all of their god images before they became Christian, and they did that as a kind of rejection of the past, you know, and taking on a new future. And I thought, I wonder if there's anything like that in New Zealand. And I stumbled across this guy, Tamati Te Ito, who started this movement called Kainarara, in which he built these. He started out by clearing. He was the leader of an Ope Whakanoa, a troop of horsemen, with 30 horsemen picked from various iwi around Taranaki. And he went, visited all the pā, and removed the Māori stones and removed the tapu from Taranaki. And then he orchestrated these bonfires all up and down, Ahi Kainarara they were called, up and down the Taranaki coast, in which people threw a lot of their taonga. These were called, Kainarara means a kind of reptile or lizard, so Kainarara means to eat. The eating demons, and they were a demon-eating movement, if you like, trying to free Taranaki from the, you know, the malign influences of Atua and Tapu, because they were all Christian, and they were looking forward to a time when they could live at peace in their land, you know, as Christians. So it's really quite a different view of Taranaki than I expected to find anyway.
It's quite fascinating, really, and some will be listening and say, why would you do that? But at the time, when Christianity arrived in our country, there was something of a backlash. They didn't like carvings, representation of Māori cosmology and mythology and things that we take for granted now.
That's right.
But at that time, and the reason, I guess, why so few, if any, houses in the north were carved, they didn't want our people praying, if you will, to anyone but God in a Christian sense, yeah?
Yeah, true. You know, the development of the big carved houses, you know, the proliferation of them happened really after 1840. So we're up north, they were the first sort of Christians and really didn't develop those kind of meeting houses. That's true. That's really interesting. Yeah, but down in Taranaki, they part of the issue was that, you know, they'd been invaded by Waikato, and many people had left and gone down to Wellington or the Marlborough Sounds, and then they were returning to their land, and the land was seen as being dangerous, you know, because it had been left and Waikato had been there. Other tohunga had been there, so it was even more urgent, really, to clean it and clear it. Yeah.
Did you find out how this particular man, Tamati Te Ito Ngamoke, was converted to Christianity? And I'm curious to know why his name has been somewhat forgotten, Jeff.
Yeah, I still don't really know. I don't know. I think he became converted to Christianity by the Methodist Church, by the Wesleyans, who were in Kafia, and I think he may well have been taken up there as a captive, but I'm not sure about that. But certainly because he was part of the Wesleyan Church. So he started this movement, and then I think he was eclipsed a little bit. You know, one of the members of his movement, this Kainarara movement, was Te Ua Haumine, you know, the Hauhau prophet, And he was also friends with Tefiti and To'u, but they weren't part of his movement. And I think what happened is that his movement was eclipsed by Parihaka, really, by To'u and Tefiti, and he kind of got forgotten as being one of the sort of forerunners of it, because he had this vision of a tribal, pan-tribal unity, you know, across Taranaki, uniting all the people, so that tribal divisions would be same sort of vision that that was the founding of Parihaka, really. So, yeah, but why he was forgotten, I mean, I think partly it was that being eclipsed, and partly the historians have kind of focused on official documents, and he was not really represented in those much. You actually have to go into the Maori letters that are written to him. There's a lot of those, 52 letters written to him by his followers. And then there's reports back to Germany by a German missionary called, a Lutheran missionary called Johann Riemenschneider. But they're all in German, so which I can't read, but I had a colleague, a friend who translated some of those for me. So, yeah, I mean, once you get, it's a language issue partly as well that he was forgotten, I think.
Well, I'm pleased that you're delving into it. I'm just curious, in that age of imperialism and colonization globally, I just wonder about the emergence of significant numbers of people who thought that they were the anointed one, i.e. the Māngai of God. I mean, how many prophets can a country have? But as Christianity touched our people, everyone thought they were the chosen man, yeah?
Yeah. I think he was probably one of the first, though. Because he was, there was this movement around Wairea in southern Taranaki, what was it called, the Tikanga Ho, the new practices in which they rejected missionaries. And I think part of it was that, you know, that they wanted, you know, missionaries kind of were kind of filtering the word, if you like, the Bible, and they wanted people, wanted to get, you know, to have their own kind of voice and own interpretation of it. And I think that's partly why all of these, prophets came to fore, possibly, you know, who knows. But you know, after him then, I mean, Te'ua was a different kind of guy, really. And so all the others, Rua, Te Kōti, you know, Rātana. Well, you know, Rātana was kind of in a way the same thing. He was trying to get rid of Tapu'e. It was one of his things. One of his big things. All of them actually were really working against Tapu, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, the church played a significant role in the colonisation of the land, and its influence needs to be acknowledged, Jeff, and I'm pleased that you're touching on this. What about this bloke? I shouldn't call him this bloke. What about Tamati Tito Ngamoke? How significant was he and his movement to our people during the Taranaki conflicts?
I think really, really significant. What he did after the bonfires, after he did those ahi kainarara, he joined with Wiramu Kingi Te Rangitake, who was the Te Atiawa leader at Waitara. And he, in fact, had a pa at Waitara. His settlement was at Waitara. This is Te Ito, and he was the prophetic advisor to Te Rangi Take, and so the two of them were really working in tandem. And so the beginnings of the wars, the Taranaki wars, was an invasion of Waitara, and they were invading Te Ito and his people as well. So they were invading his followers in a way. So the beginnings of the Taranaki Wars really were closely related to the destruction of his movement. And in fact, that was one of the motivations, I'm sure, for the invasion of Waitara. It's really, really interesting. And I think historians have got to now rethink the beginnings of those wars and factor in Te Ito into that, you know, which gives it a whole different dimension, a religious dimension in a way.
Tēnā koe, fascinating, and thanks. But to be honest with you, Jeff, my heart cries out for the Tonga that ended up in flames. And the mind boggles, really, of what might have been destroyed.
Yeah.
But nowadays we recognise that our traditional spiritual beliefs can live harmoniously alongside Christian beliefs as well. But at that time, it was one or the other, right?
Yeah, I think so. He was trying to, I think people were trying to bring them together in different ways, thinking about how they could, because he, one of his theologies was that there was a level of various hierarchies in the religion. So you had the Christian God, but with below the Christian God were the Maori Atua. You know, and so that he was trying to integrate that into some kind of a theology, but I don't, you know, there's not a lot written about it, so I can't be, I'm not really clear on what that theology was, but it looks like he was trying to, you know, do that, build that idea, you know, that Atua existed beneath the, you know, the Christian God. And in fact, he said that, and his congregation attended churches and the Lutheran missionary kicked them out, saying that you can't have both. And they said, yes, we can, you know, very well we can, you know. So there was a kind of conflict with this guy, Riemann Schneider. He eventually abandoned them and went to Nelson when the wars started. So, you know, that says it all, really.
Well, I'm pleased, Jeff, that you can reintroduce us to a personality of that time. And it marries up with many others who thought that they were bringing peace to the people. Everyone was heading in the same direction, just travelling down slightly different pathways. Thanks for your mahi. I see that you've involved yourself in this area a lot over your career, Jeff. Who are you hoping will read this? And what ultimately will you hope to achieve by putting this puka together, Ewa?
Oh, well, I hope, you know, as many people as possible, obviously, but especially in Taranaki, you know, because it's part of a history of Taranaki that is very deep, and it would be really good if people thought about it in relation to, you know, the events of the wars and subsequently, you know, Parihaka and all that, and give a kind of informed, inform that understanding a bit more. So that would be really good for me. But apart from that, you know, I think it's quite a readable story, eh? I hope so.
Well, I look forward to having a bit of a squizzy at it one day, Jeffrey Sissons. Thanks very much, Jeffrey, for spending some time with us. Are you still teaching at Vic, or have you stepped aside?
I retired a couple of years ago.
Growing dahlias. Yeah. Growing dahlias now, Jeff.
Yeah, pushing them up.
No, cut it out. Plenty of time to go. Thanks, Jeffrey. It's lovely meeting you, brother. Tēnā koe.
Good to talk.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks so much.